Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And today we're going to be talking with Dr. Michael Samuels about his work using art, creativity, and guided imagery with his patients. You know, we often talk about art as an expression of the self, but we don't really talk about how it can be used to help with the healing process. And so I'm really excited to talk to Dr. Samuels today about his work. You know, art is one of the oldest healing methods we have, and unfortunately, and you know, even in our regular schools and the budget problems that we have, we find that art is not really considered of great value as compared to, say, arithmetic or reading, which is a real shame. And hopefully what we talk about today will be helpful to kind of elevate art to a new place of importance. So if you're joining us live, you can certainly call in and ask a question if you'd like of Dr. Samuels. The number to call in is 818-514-1190, and then just hit 1 so I know you have your hand up. So again, the number is 818-514-1190, and just hit 1. So Dr. Samuels is the founder and director of Art as a Healing Force, a project that started in 1990 devoted to helping people heal themselves, the community, and the earth with creativity and making art part of the healing process. He does lectures and workshops nationwide on creativity and healing and is the author of 20 books, including a bestseller Well Body book. Thank you so much, Dr. Samuels, for coming on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we start with how did you, as a regular medical doctor, you know, trained the traditional way, how did you get to where you are right now, that, you know, lecturing and teaching people about art as a healing tool?
Well, I had a community family practice in the rural area, and I was seeing patients for all kinds of conditions, and the practice slowly drifted into a practice dealing with chronic pain, cancer, people very sick. And I would work with guided imagery and meditation as well as the normal Western medicine allopathic tools. And one day, one of the patients I was working with who had chronic rheumatoid arthritis, she was on 5 drugs, she was had contractures, she couldn't really, she was in very rough shape. She was picturing her healing forces, and the next day she brought me a drawing, a painting she had made, of her legs raised and giving birth to the earth. And that day she said, I know I'm going to heal now. And within about 3 weeks, she went into remission. She was completely pain-free. She went off her meds. And I said, this is beautiful because art is so much more alive than just picturing something in your mind's eye or psychotherapy or something like this. And at that point, I decided to devote my life to art and healing.
Wow, what a fantastic story. So what's happened since then? What, you know, has that blossomed?
Since then, I can't tell your listeners how wonderful it is, because right now over half of the hospitals in America, especially large university medical centers, have art and healing programs. And they have the programs, most of them started on the cancer unit because cancer patients need the most help in the hospital for stress reduction. And what they found is that art, it lowers the patient's needs for pain meds. It affects their chemotherapy side effects. It enhances their quality of life. So it's become a valuable part of all the centers. And now the hospitals that I've worked in to help put art, some of them have 200 artists. Shands Arts and Medicine in University of Florida, which is a 3 million square foot medical center, the regional center for the whole area, has an artist, a painter in residence, a musician in residence, a dancer in residence. And every day they go into patients' rooms, kids with leukemia, and they really change the world. They change their lives.
Wow, that is so inspiring. Fantastic. So, you know, if somebody says, I feel like I want to pursue this, kind of what's involved? What, you know, do they need a support group or a leader or?
Well, the reason we wrote our book is we had Mary Lane, my co-author, started Shands Arts and Medicine at University of Florida. And I had many programs in San Francisco, and it was so powerful with patients. And what you said in the beginning of the show about finding yourself and changing your life, that's really the way it works. And we then did a university course for the last 10 years where we took just regular students from university and taught them how to do it. And in 12 weeks, they had major healing and transformative experiences. And so our book, Healing with the Arts, really is a guidebook to show you, the listener, how to do it. Now, what we suggest, I suggest personally now as a doctor and Mary as a PhD nurse, that everyone use art for whatever needs to be healed in their life, for themselves, others, community, and the earth. That's our kind of mission statement. And it's easy to do. It's so easy to do that it's crazy that it's not happening for the last 50 years. But it, as I said, it is happening in hospitals. But basically, in our 12 weeks, the person can just use our book by themselves, or if they have a severe condition like cancer or something like that, probably the hospital in their community has an arts and medicine program. So when they go in, outpatient or inpatient, they should ask about that or Google it, the city that they're in, and arts and medicine. It'll show the nearest program. But our book will allow you to do it completely by yourself.
Oh, wow. So is it a 12-week process in your book as well?
Yeah, the book is 12 weeks, 12 chapters, one that echoes each week of our course. And they're really simple. What they do is each week has a guided imagery, which is a meditation where you picture something in your mind's eye, and then a simple art drawing process. So, for example, the first week, everyone who starts arts and medicine says they can't do it. When the artist in residence walks into a patient's room and says, I'm with arts and medicine, you at University of Florida, do you want to make art? The person always says, no, I can't do it. I can't draw between the lines. I'm too clumsy to dance. And then you hand the child with leukemia a scarf, and the room is dark, the shades are drawn, the mother is depressed, the child is in pain, and the child just moves that scarf slowly in the air and is dancing. And the next thing you know, the child makes a costume, knocks down buildings, waits every day at the door for the artist to come in. So these things are really, it's as simple as moving a scarf with your hands. So the first exercise, you picture your inner critic, which says you can't make art, and you let it go. And then the next week, you picture the art that you've always wanted to do and your passion, and then you try it. And then the next week, you see what needs to be healed in your life, and then you make the art. I just taught in San Francisco State, which is one of the places I teach, and we actually did this in 2 weeks. The first week, it was an all-day workshop, and the people pictured what they needed to be healed in the media, and then they went home and made art for 2 weeks to heal, and we had the most wonderful stories of healing and transformation in 2 weeks. People who've been grieving a death they've never grieved did this. People who are abused as children, sexually abused, or victims of violence did this. And the healing is really profound.
Wow, that is wonderful. Now, some people will, you know, be a little picky and say, well, what do you consider art?
Okay, art is everything. It's creativity. It's who you are. It's your soul. It's simply, we say visual arts, which is painting, music, photography, Instagram, blah, blah, blah. Music, which is listening to music, Spotify lists, playing music for the first time, maybe since you were a teenager or something like that, dance, which is any kind of movement, and word, which is theater, poetry. And in my class this week, about half of the people wrote poems, probably their first poems since they were in high school. Some of them wrote it to boyfriends that were abusive to them to free themselves from the relationship. I can never believe, what projects people come up with. It's so simple and so powerful. And now there's a tremendous amount of medical research done on how it works. And basically it works three ways. It puts you in a non-stress state. That's the first way, like meditation or relaxation. Mm-hmm. The second way is that the traumatic memory, when it's painted, is replaced by the making of art, and that actually replaces the memory and makes new neural circuits. And the third way is it excites areas of the brain that aren't usually used, visual, auditory, not areas in left brain that are just facts, but areas that involve our whole body. And so the healing is powerful because really it involves our whole body and new neural circuits.
Oh, that's really interesting. Can you elaborate a little bit more about the number two, what you were saying about the new neural circuits?
This is research based on research from MIT. What they've known for years now is that art is the best therapy for Alzheimer's, and the Boston Globe had a headline that said, "Is art the way to treat Alzheimer's?" And it's also the best therapy for post-traumatic stress disorder in veterans. And people didn't know why, but they knew it worked really, really well. Veterans that had had psychotherapy and antidepressants for years suddenly came to a painter or a musician and played the guitar or did their first painting, and they felt so much better, and then the process healed them. And the way it works, they believe now, is that memories are held in certain areas of the brain. And when those areas are excited, and the way you excite them is to have the memory, not to run away from it. So when a veteran sees these very dark images, or in each class that Mary and I teach has several women who have been sexually abused or victims of violence, which is, in our culture, an epidemic. And when they go back and see those images and then make a painting or a poem or a flower or really the memory of the event is now replaced by the memory of the event plus the art. And then five paintings later, when the art has angels or the art has spirit or the art has tremendous beauty, really the memory is replaced by the beauty. It's not taken away, but it no longer has the pain and the toxicity. So I think now, since this new research, I've reframed the way I look at it, because I realize that in my class, we're all victims in a sense of post-traumatic stress. If you're a cancer patient with the new diagnosis, that's your trauma. If you're a woman who's had a victim of violence, everyone has these things they need to heal in their life. It's whether it's their own child who's sick, or a grandmother with Alzheimer's, or a physical condition they have. And one of the incredible things about art right now is how pervasive it is in our culture to heal. No one knows about it. It's like secret. But it's like across the whole world. In Egypt, the revolution, one of the biggest forces in the revolution is mural art to be free, and there are mural art all over. So it truly is yourself, others, community, and the earth to heal.
There's a rehab center close by, and my significant, my partner James, they invited him to do African drumming the residents of the rehab center. And these people have failed outpatient, rehab, so they've usually been in trouble a very long time. So they finally come to St. Joe's. And what I thought was really exciting is that they have yoga and Tai Chi, and they have drumming. And most of the time, I would say 99% of the time, after, at the beginning, everyone's looking around like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Why are we here? And then, James gets into it, and at the end, everyone's smiling. They're like, he asks them, if you think about your stress, before the class, you think about your stress.
Right.
Can you bring all that up? And they're like, oh, yeah, I can think a lot of things. And then, at the end of the class, he says, okay, so for the class, were you thinking about your stresses? And they're like, no. And they laugh. They're giggling.
This is exactly right. One of the things it does is the actual process of the art takes your mind off whatever was going on. So the child with leukemia who's had this very dark situation is picturing themselves as a dragon knocking down buildings. So that's where he is in that moment. He's a dragon. But also from an imagery standpoint, he's victoring over the cancer. He's the victor by being the dragon. So it's their deep processes of first of all forgetting the troubles or the difficulties in a way, but actually you're not forgetting them, you're changing them. And then the other thing is that drumming or dance especially are tremendously embodied. The movements of your body bring out power. When you're drumming, your power comes out. And that's the best thing that a person can do to start hope in a situation where they're in rehab. So it's extremely powerful. In our book, Healing with the Arts, has this program for the people to do it. And we have a website, healingwiththeart.com, that has a blog on it. And every day in the blog, I post 3 news articles from somewhere in the world telling what someone's doing. And I'm blown away by it because, just like you say in your program, one day it'll say St. Joe's Hospital drumming with rehab patients. And the next day it'll say Dubai making art with women to empower them. And the next day it'll be Cancer Center. So it's to me, each day I go, wow, this is so cool. I can't believe it. And so for your listeners, we're inviting you. I'm inviting you to have art change your life or something you need to heal. And in any way you do. Our book's a guidebook, but any program, any art therapist, expressive arts therapist. And in our book we say that we don't need a diagnosis, we don't need a therapist, we don't need treatment. This is not treatment, it's creativity. So when you do this for yourself, you don't have to talk about something with a therapist that may have been painful, or you don't have to try to take antidepressants or something like that. We're not telling you to use art to replace normal Western medical care. It's used in it along with it. But it's so powerful that often drug use, one of the proven things is antidepressant use, pain medication use, chemotherapy side effect treatment, these all drop tremendously because the people are so interested. They're so involved in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that whole, endorphin release, I know for me, suffering originally, 10 years ago from fibromyalgia, my figure skating was kind of like that one glimmer of hope when I was so miserable that I could still do and my body would actually feel better, even though I couldn't do as much. You know, my body would always feel better after skating because the endorphin release, and I felt like that was my connection to God, higher self, whatever you want to call it.
Exactly.
And, and so it was one of those things I couldn't not do, as part of the healing process.
That's what we say. We say that everybody says, I'm not an artist. And Mary says in her description of how she healed herself with a depression by painting, you get to a point where you have to do it. You can't not do it. It's less risky to make art even though you're not an artist than to continue being ill. So, and then when you start, it's not art for a gallery. It's not art to become famous. It's not art to sell. You're not trying to become an Olympic figure skater, I hope. But you're just healing yourself so that no one even has to look at it. No one, in our class where the people draw, I say, if you want to hold your drawing up and talk about it, you can, but you don't have to. No one has to see this drawing.
Right.
And
that's
it's your
a
private
really great
space.
Point.
And then the people, it's process. It's creativity is healing by itself. That's the way we're hardwired. That's the neurological system we carry. And we're not using it enough because because as you said, with art programs stopped in schools and people thinking that art is actually to become famous or your best to become perfect, it's been put down. And now this ancient healing method, the first artist and the first healer are one person, and they just did a kind of ceremony to heal. And it freed the person's healing energies. When you spin in a figure skating and you're, as you said, filled with spirit, you connect with spirit, this is wonderful. Mm-hmm. This is really body, mind, spirit healing. We know how to heal body. Mind is a little different, and this is technology, advanced therapeutic technology to heal spirit.
Wonderful. And if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Dr. Michael Samuels, and we're talking about art as a healing modality. And if you'd like to ask a question, you can give us a call at 818-514-1190 and just hit 1-818-514-1190. So, Dr. Samuels, I do think we have a question here. So let me unmute this person. Hello. I think your telephone number ending in 2287. You're live on the air with Dr. Samuels and I.
Hey, ring-a-ding, motherfuckers. What's going on, you arty cunts? Fuck you, bitches.
Whoa. Well, that's interesting. Sorry about
that,
Doctor.
That person got excited.
I guess
by making art. I think maybe this expression was the first expression of a healing by getting out some rage. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. That's the first for our show.
Okay, interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm
sorry
about that. If I had something to do with that, I hope not. Anyway.
No, that's okay. Well, it just gives us another healing opportunity, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think something got triggered something in someone. It's you wonder why, you know. I don't think anything we've said has been, I can't imagine, you know, but if someone has had a big pain, a big suffering in their life, and suddenly you say to them, if you face it, you know, maybe like child, we talked about people abusing women, if someone is involved in that, you know, this is a lot of energy to come out.
Either side, you know, either the abuser or the abuser. Because oftentimes they're also also very hurt and traumatized. Well, let's go and I want to ask you, you know, if people want to learn more about your book, about, you know, the process, do you have a website?
Yeah, we have, the book is called Art, Healing with the Arts. It's a real simple title. And the website is healingwiththearts.com. And it's a wonderful website because it has film on it of hospital programs. You can actually see dancers dancing with children with leukemia by just clicking on the gallery on the site.
Wow.
And as I said, also the blog is really cool because if you type in a search word into the blog, you'll see everything being done in the world with art for that. So if you're interested in art with cancer and type in the word cancer, you'll see all the cancer programs and stories of how the people are using it. And so it's healingwiththearts.com, and it's a very accessible, colorful introduction to what this is.
Oh, fantastic. You know, and what I really appreciate about the work that you do and, you know, that everybody around the world is doing is that this is something that doesn't necessarily cost any money. You know, people will say, well, I can't afford, you know, this supplement, or I can't afford this healing tour, or I can't afford to go to acupuncture, or I can't, you know, and I get that. I totally feel for people. But this is something that we can do, I mean, anywhere, you know, anywhere, any place.
Yeah, it's,
doesn't cost money.
I tell people that in the first chapter of the book, we say get some art supplies. And then we say if you don't have money to get art supplies, your children probably has crayons. You probably have old magazines that you read around the house that you can cut up and make collages. It really doesn't cost anything. And in the hospital, it's even a tremendously cost-efficient, in the days of Obamacare, tremendous cost-efficient intervention for a hospital program. When you've got 200 artists in residence at a major medical center, this is incredibly inexpensive per minute patient visit for the hospital to reduce. And the studies show that people leave the hospital a day earlier after surgery, things like this. It actually saves money. But for the listener, it doesn't cost anything. They can just do this. Mm-hmm. And I really invite them to actually do it, to think of what the three steps are. Let your critic go so you don't say, I can't do it, which is hard, but you do it. The next step is what do you love doing? Painting, dancing, music, gardening, cooking, to make your greatest passion that fills you with joy. And the third is find what you need to be healed in your life and do it, do the art. So it's actually that simple. They can start today. They can say, I'm going to wonder what I need to heal in my life. And then there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing I really wanted to point out and appreciate is that this isn't just some, you know, hokey idea of someone's. There's actually scientific data backing this. And as my left brain MD part of me likes the data, you know, I mean, I think that in our society we kind of are more likely to applaud, you know, left brain pursuits, you know, the numbers and the success and all this kind of stuff, and we're less likely to appreciate the arts and some of this right brain, you know, feminine, intuitive stuff. But here you got data, you know, that says, hey, this stuff really works.
Yeah, there's a big review article in the Journal of Public Health that reviews thousands and thousands of articles in music, dance, all of the things with patients in hospitals. It's really a very data-filled situation right now, and that's why 50% of the hospitals have arts and medicine programs, because they wouldn't do this if it wasn't something that was supported scientifically, and also not dangerous, no side effects, no no, it's not religious, so you're not bringing something in that offends people, although it's very spiritual, because the person finds their inner self through it, right? Because that's who comes in the images. And it's very non-threatening to have an artist walk into a room. So this is something that's just like you said, it's inexpensive, it has no side effects, it's non-threatening, it's a very wonderful addition to anyone's healing tools in their life for anything that they've got.
Wow. So how would somebody, for example, you know, I live in a smaller community with a smaller hospital. I'm not aware, you know, of maybe we do have arts as a healing, you know, therapy in the hospital.
Right.
So if someone wanted to start that, or how would they approach the administration? How would they, you know, say, hey, this is actually cost-effective? You know what I mean? Like, how would they kind of pitch
it? Yes. Well, we do this. So the program Mary started at Shands Arts and Medicine seeded 100 programs in the state of Florida through a grant by Very Special Arts. And it's actually really doable. If someone in your and they don't, again, they're not art therapists, expressive art therapists, licensed or trained. They're just artists. So that if you're a guitar player or a harp player, and your hospital doesn't have a program, at this point, what I suggest is go online and print out something, type in harp and end of life, or harp and arts and medicine, and you'll get something from Harvard Medical School, and bring it to your local hospital, to either Child Life or to an administrator, and say, I'll come in and volunteer 2 hours a week and play harp with patients in your hospital. And they can... They can easily read. There's a thing called Society of Arts and Healthcare, which unites all the programs in all the hospitals of the country. And you can go on that site and show them that it's in 1,000 hospitals, so many that you look them up by the letters, you know, A, B, C, D in the dictionary. And then just volunteer. And that's how all the arts and medicine programs started in the world. That's how Mary started hers at UF. She just walked in and did a call for artists in the community. She was a nurse who worked there, so she had a contact. A pediatric oncologist, and she just brought the first dancer into the pediatric bone marrow transplant for leukemia, and that was it. That was the beginning. It's a volunteer, and that's what we say, is we say you can volunteer 1 hour a week, as long as you show up on time, and you enroll in volunteer services, so you get a skin test, tuberculosis skin test, or whatever the services do for that hospital. And then you're there. Mm-hmm. Then you're arts and medicine. You make a little badge, paint beautiful colors, and you're arts and medicine for that hospital. And it's life-changing for you. If you did that in any kind of arts, as I said, a visual artist, a T-shirt painter, a person who loves children and makes puppets, whatever you can possibly think of, you can do. And you can do it. Try it at home first. Try it like we tell women who are swamped with work and raising children and have stress in their lives, sit down for 15 minutes while you're making dinner and put art supplies on the table in the kitchen and let your children make art with you, and it changes everything in your life. Because suddenly you can talk about the content of their art, you create social relationships, we say you bring in spirit, because when you're painting, everything's gone. So suddenly there's a moment where no one's fighting, no one's worrying about things. And then try it yourself, and many of your listeners probably do it already. Many of your listeners have stories like yours about figure skating. So those people, we have students in my class, and it's only a 12-week class, 12 chapters in our book, who go into elder care facilities and start a program, or who go into hospital neonatal care units and start a program, because it's not that difficult, but it takes courage. You have to say, I can do this, I'm not afraid. But right now, like you said, the literature behind you, the research behind you is so strong that a hospital administrator can say, wait a minute, this is at Harvard, this is at University of Florida, this is at University of Wisconsin, this is at Duke. You know, we can put it here for a volunteer, okay. And then the next thing that happens is someone photographs the artist and a child with cancer with no hair, and it goes on the cover of the hospital bulletin, and for the first time in 2 years, the hospital has heart. Instead of bad news showing, is this wonderful humanity showing, and the hospital says, wait a minute here, this is something. This opens everyone's heart, this is it's and it's what you say. It brings the feminine, the divine feminine, back to healthcare, because this is a caring, nurturing, loving intervention. It's not a, and it's relationship based. When you are playing the harp with a person in pain, and you look them in their eyes, and they look you in their eyes, this is something different from medicine.
Yeah.
When the doctor comes in for 3 minutes, says your potassium's too low, puts a note on the chart, and walks out. I mean, I'm a physician, so I don't apologize to my colleagues, but that's reality in a hospital. You're lucky if you see the doctor for a short amount of time. The artist is there for half hour, maybe. And they're looking you in the eyes. They're saying, tell me your story. You're going to have a heart transplant. Tell me your story of your life. I'll write it down so your kids can see it and so your grandchildren can see it. And that's what it feels like.
Love it, love it. Well, we're all out of time. Dr. Samuel, thank you so much for being on the show today. And, you know, it just, you know, reinforces everything that, you know, I've experienced. We drum, we dance, we skate, and it is so healing. We see the smiles on people's faces, their stress fall away, the community that it builds, the heart that it builds. And so kudos to you and your colleagues for this wonderful work.
Thank you very much. As my message to your readers is, art's a powerful healing tool, and it's yours. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks, everyone, for listening in. Until next time, bye for now.